Welcome to the weekly podcast from City Light Church in Lethbridge. For more teaching or to find out more about life at CLC, please visit our website at citylightchurch.ca.
Awesome to see you here this morning. What a beautiful day out there. Reminds us that spring is a long ways away, isn't it? But you know, whatever time it is, it's good to be in the house of God, spend time in God's house. We're so glad you're here. We're well into a series, and I hope you're being challenged by the series. How many of you are being challenged by this series? And I hope that we give you the Word of God and His truth, all His power. Has power, but it needs to be put into practice, right? So, as you listen, I want you to listen with this attitude that I'm just not hearing truth for information's sake. I'm hearing truth that can change me, that can transform me, my heart. Amen? Change my life, the way I live, and the way I serve Jesus. Amen? Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Thank you, Father, for every person gathered here. I believe you want to speak to us very specifically. I believe you're going to speak to us during the service. As in the message, you're going to reveal things that maybe in our past that's affected us, and that we can do something about it, gives us hope and courage, and that we can move forward in our life. So help us to hear the Word in such a way that we believe it, we receive it, and we live it out. In Jesus' name we pray. Everyone did say, Amen. Okay, 1 second. That tastes good. Okay, are you ready? All right, we're going to talk about, we're on to our series, Overcoming Challenges. Today, my message is called, Get Past Your Past. Let's jump right into the Word of God. We're going to look at Psalm chapter 52, verse 8. Psalm 52, verse 8. And the psalmist said, But I am like an olive tree flourishing in the house of God. I'm like an olive tree flourishing in the house of God. Now, the psalmist is talking about himself. And what he's saying is, life is good. Life is good. I'm flourishing. I'm growing vigorously. I'm prosperously. I'm experiencing vibrancy in my life. And he sees himself as someone who's flourishing, growing, successful, succeeding. Now, I can just hear a thought going through somebody's mind right now. Yeah, but he's the exception. I want to respond to you by saying, no, there is no doubt that God wants our life to be like this olive tree. Despite all the challenges of life, all the storms that we face, all the opposition, the bad weather, the winds that blow, God's plan for is that in everything and through everything, that we would continue to grow, to move forward, to have progress in our life. Amen? God's plan for our life is to be like this olive tree. And the question is, if it's not, then why not? God didn't mean for you to remain small, right? Like this tree, it was never meant to stay small. It's okay to start small, but not to stay small. So, how do we grow? How do we prosper? In order to grow, in order to prosper, to flourish, we got to get past some things. And there's three key things that I believe every single one of us has to get past. Number one, taking notes. First thing you got to do, get past your smallness. Get past your smallness. Luke's gospel says that Jesus grew in wisdom and stature, you know, before God and all the people. See, we were not designed to live a limited, restricted life. We were designed to be expansive. We're supposed to live expansively, openly, like we even sang this morning, right? That's the way we're supposed to live. So the question is, what is it that keeps us so small? What is it that keeps some people so small? Not everybody, but Some people are so small. What is it that keeps them so small? We go right to the Word of God. Paul talks to the Corinthian church. He says in 2 Corinthians 6:12, Dear Corinthians, I can't tell you how much I long for you to enter this, what kind of life? Wide open, spacious life. We didn't fence you in. The smallness you feel comes from within you. Your lives aren't small. Your lives were never meant to be small. But you're living them in a small way. I'm speaking as plainly as I can. And with great affection. Open up your lives. Live openly and expansively. See on your PowerPoint, when your life is small, it's because of the smallness that's within you. Right? And like a tree, if we're not getting the nutrients flowing into our hearts and our minds that are essential to build us up, if you're small in your faith, in your imagination, in your vision, then you're going to get caught up in the pettiness and the small things that keeps people small. And it's all from within, the Bible says, right? All from within. In Judges chapter 6 is a story of a guy named Gideon who was living in the smallness of his limitations. And the background is this. The people of God, Israel, have been for 7 years, every year at harvest time, their enemies, the Midianites, the Amalekites, and all the eastern peoples, every year at harvest time when they're ready to collect the harvest, they come in, their enemies come in like a swarm of locusts, the Bible says. And they come and they ravage the land, they destroy all the crops, they kill every living thing, they heavily impoverish the land. And so the people have been crying out and crying out, and finally God responds in the right time, and he sends an angel to pick someone who will be a leader that would lead the people to delivering them out of the hands of their enemies. And so we'll pick up with the story in Judges chapter 6, verse 11. The angel of the Lord came down and sat under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abizrite, where his son Gideon, notice what he was doing. He was threshing wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." And he says, "I'm going to use you to deliver my people." Notice what Gideon's, how he responds. "Pardon me, my Lord." Gideon replied, "But how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." He said, "I am small, I am weak, I'm so little." And the Lord answered, "I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites, leaving none alive." Gideon's not done, but Gideon's still struggling in his spirit. He replies, "If now I have found favor in your eyes, give me a sign that is really you talking to me." And so God gives him a sign. If you read the story, he gives him not just one sign, several signs. He's continually trying to confront the smallness within Gideon. So he'll rise up and he'll take the call, right? And that's what he has to do. But it's an incredible story. You got to read it. And it's an incredible story of the deliverance of how God can take an ordinary guy and use him to deliver a nation. But first, he had to get past his smallness. Right? Do you see that? Joel Osteen. Everybody knows who Joel Osteen is. Joel Osteen is a great pastor of a great church in Houston, Texas. Joel Osteen tells this story. He said he came from a very poor family background. His grandfather was a cotton picker, a laborer in the fields. His son, they told him, had the same type of future. He said, "Don't expect much, John, because that's all you're going to be. You're going to be like your dad. You're going to be a cotton picker." And so, but here's what happened. His dad got born again, got saved, received Jesus Christ into his life. God started to speak to him. He started reading the Word of God and realized, "I have a purpose. I have a call of God in my life." And he sought God, and he knew in his heart God had called him into the ministry to become a pastor. And so he studied, became a pastor. He took over this church. Didn't go so well because the people didn't want to go where he felt God wanted to take him. So he started his own church called Lakewood Church in Houston, Texas. which is now considered to be the largest and the fastest growing church in America. Their average weekend attendance is 38,000 people in one weekend in about three or four services. They say in this television show, 7 million Americans or North Americans watch his program. And his show's broadcast into 100 different nations, reaching an average of 20 million people a week. Wow. And we'll say, if your grandfather or if your father settled for a small life, you don't have to. Amen? You don't have to. Just because they did, you don't have to. In Numbers chapter 13 is a story of 12 spies. And the people of Israel, God's people, have been trekking through the desert for 40 years. And finally it's time to enter into the promised land. So Joshua, the leader, sends out 12 spies. Or 12 spies are sent out. 10 spies came back with this report about this promised land. And they said, we saw the Nephilim there. It says, we saw giants there. And they were big. They were so big. And it says, we seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we look the same to them. And they never enter the promised land because of the smallness within them. That entire generation died, never entered the promised land except two guys, Joshua and Caleb. It's the same for us today. If you want to inherit all the promises of God in the Bible, you've got to get over your smallness. Right? You got to get past your past. Can you say that with me? Get past your past. Get past your past. Look at the person next to you. Say, get past your past. Right? Get past your smallness. Get past your smallness. Okay? Get past your smallness. Second thing you got to do is get past your average. You got to get past average. The average life is a settled life. Now, most of those people, those God's people that were in the desert were content to stay there. They were contented to stay there. So they never made much of an effort. But I want to tell you, and you know this, we serve a big, big God. We serve a good God who has great things in mind for us. The Bible says in Ephesians 3:20, He is able to do immeasurably more than all you might think or even imagine. He's able to do that. Do you remember last week we talked about Isaac in Genesis chapter 26, how the land was in the worst economic recession ever? It was in a downturn, and God told him, Isaac, I want you to stay here, and I want you to plant your crops here. So Isaac trusted God. He believed God. He planted and he sowed his seed. And what happened? He reaped a 100-fold harvest during the economic downturn. Now, I heard of a car dealership, a Lexus dealership in the States. And in the last economic downturn, they were selling... They hardly sold a car. They were on the verge of closing their business. But then they got this idea. They said, let's take fleets of our vehicles and let's take them to where potential buyers might be. And they took a fleet of vehicles to country clubs, golf clubs, resorts, and they offered them free rides. Just come for a test drive. You know, and people took them up for a test drive. If somebody said to me, hey, Doug, you want to test drive the latest new Lexus coupe? I would jump at the chance. I would literally jump at the chance. And so people jumped at the chance. And guess what happened? They sold more cars during the economic downturn than before the economic downturn. Right? See, we can be like everybody else. We can just settle in, can't we? We can just settle in our businesses. Well, and we can settle in our marriages, right? And people, you know, and somebody could say to you, hey, how's your marriage doing? Oh, well, it's all right. It's average, you know, like it's like everybody else's. Let me say, be discontent with being average. Amen? Be discontent with being average. Average is like water that settles in the lower places, flows into the lower places, settles there, and just evaporates. God didn't call you to be that. God didn't say, I called you to be water that settles in the lower places and just evaporates. No. What did He say? Jesus said, I called you to be what? Salt and light. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. Amen? Be discontent with being average, right? Look at Proverbs chapter 22, verse 29. It says, do you see a man who excels in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before unknown men. With excellence comes influence, right? Daniel chapter 1, verse 20. Then the king interviewed them, and among them all, none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. Therefore, they served before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding about which the king examined them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers who were in all his realm. Daniel 6, verse 3. And then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him. The spirit of excellence was in Daniel. Whenever he did it with excellence and with great effort, just like Jake Dyke is doing in his workplace. And he's rising in his position, right? And it says, and the spirit of excellence was on Dan, and the king gave thought to setting him over the what? The whole realm. This next slide is a picture of an incredibly, this is an impressive young age. Do you know who this is? This is Rachel Harder. This is Rachel Harder. Rachel Harder refuses to be an average person. I first met Rachel Harder probably about 3 or 4 years ago. She came to a ministerial meeting, a pastor's minister's meeting. And she was like a teenager. And she was got up to the front and said, I remember the words. She said, I believe that God has called me to run for this office and that I could win. I believe it. I thought, wow. Wow. I said, you know, my heart, I said, go for it, girl. And she got in easily. She won the Lethbridge riding as an MP under the PC banner. And today, Rachel Harder is not living an average life. Amen? It's a good picture of what anybody could do if they refuse to be average. So I say, you know, let's declare with faith and passion, God does not want me to be average. I don't have to settle for the things everybody else has. I want the promises in the Word of God for me, for myself. Amen? And I believe that when we have that spirit, when we have that attitude, I think God kind of just rises up and He just fills our minds with and our hearts with new ideas and creativity. And He takes us far beyond being average. Amen? If you want to progress, if you want to grow, you got to get beyond your average. So can you say this? Get past your average. Get past your average. Number three, you got to get past your past. Get past your past. Isaiah 42:18 says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. Do not dwell in the past. We all have a past. You have a past, but you're not supposed to live there. Right? If you think about it, most of the frustration, most of the pain and discouragement that we experience today is due to something that was in our past. Do you agree with that? No? Our past influences us, but our past should not define us, right? Don't let the past poison your future. Paul, the Apostle Paul, one of the greatest men of God that ever lived. He wrote so much of the New Testament, the epistles. And you can hear, you learn so much about Paul's life as you read the New Testament. And Paul talked about himself in Philippians chapter 3, verse 4. He says, if anyone if someone else thinks that they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, he says, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church, as for righteousness, based on the law, faultless. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. You study Paul's life. Study Paul's life. Paul was a persecutor of the church. He was very educated. He was smart. He was a Pharisee. And he had a passion for the wrong purpose. And he caused the death of many, many people, many Christians. I believe when God called Paul, there was a hesitancy for him to enter into serving Christ with all his heart because of what he had done. Right? Not because of the things he had accomplished in his flesh, but what he had done. But if you look at Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, this is what Paul said. But I focus on this one thing. In other words, but this one thing I do, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race. He's saying, here's what I understand. Here's what I have to do. If I'm ever going to take hold, if I'm ever going to apprehend the things that are before me, I've got to let go of the things that are behind me. Right? That's what he said. I cannot go forward unless I do this one thing. I've got to forget my past. You know, if the enemy is ever going to attack you, if he's ever going to attack you, he's going to attack you in this area. He's going to try to tie you. He's going to try to tether you to your past. How many people do you know? They're still playing the same old recordings, the same old tapes are going through their mind, right? You know, it's like a baby. It's like a baby. It's coming out from mom. It's coming into a new life. What's the first thing you got to do? What do you have to cut? You got to cut the cord, right? You got to cut the cord because its future is on the line, right? So you got to cut the past. If you focus on the past, you will miss your future. I like what Creflo Dolly says. He said, some people are so paralyzed in their past. Some people are paralyzed in their past and never get into the future because they're living in their past. You know, I am not my past. I'm Doug Shimoda, but I am no longer my past, right? You're not your past. Can you say that? I am not my past. I'm not my past. I know that my past was bad. There's a lot of bad things, but I know some people's pasts are way worse. And maybe you're here and you're thinking right now, but Pastor, my past was so bad. It was so bad, it disqualifies me from my future. Can I tell you? God calls people that everybody else disqualifies. And he calls them to himself. And he calls the lowliest, he calls the outcast, and he changes them, and he uses them to change the world. Amen? There's nobody's past that is so bad that God can't change, and then God can use you. Amen? God can use you. Can you say, God can use me? God can use me, but on one condition. You've got to let go of your past. If you're ever going to move ahead, if you're ever going to progress, you've got to leave your past behind. Amen? Your past may have been so bad. But I know maybe somebody else, you're thinking, well, my past, but Pastor, my past was good. I had a good past. But you know, there's a problem with that. You know what the problem is? You become satisfied with where you are. And you stop pursuing the good things that God still has for you. I want to tell you, God's not finished with you yet. No matter how old you are, no matter what you've done for God, no matter how you lived your life for God, God's not finished with you yet. Amen? God has more for you. There's more that God wants to do with your life. It's time to move ahead. Isaiah 43 talks about the miracle of miracles in the Old Testament. You know what the miracle of miracles in the Old Testament is? It's the parting of the Red Sea. The Red Sea miracle is the miracle of miracles in the Old Testament. It's when God delivered his people out of Egypt, and Pharaoh and his army are chasing them, and they've got the Red Sea in front of them, and there's no other escape except there needs to be a miracle. So God talks about in Isaiah 43. He says, I am the Lord who opened a way through the waters, making a dry path through the sea. I call forth the mighty army of Egypt with all its chariots and horses. They drown their lives, snuffed out like a smoldering candle wick. And then what does he say next? But forget all that. But forget all that. It's nothing compared to what I'm going to do. For I am about to do something new. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. God will do a new thing with you right now. He will make a way in the desert. But the warning is, you got to stay away from the past. Amen? You got to stay away from the past. You know, when you think about your past, I mean, every one of us has a past, and I'm sure every one of us has had some negative things in our past. If you've never had a negative thing in your past, raise your hand, and let's see what a liar looks like, right? Every one of us has experienced a disappointment, an unmet expectation, we've got offended in some way. But you see, all these can set the stage for what the Bible calls bitter roots, a bitter root. And the Bible warns us about this bitter root that can take root, take hold in the soil of our heart. And if you read that in Hebrews 12:15, the Bible says, see to it that no one falls short of the grace of God. The grace of God can help you get over the bitter root. See to it that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. The bitter root causes trouble in your life, but not just in your life. It can actually infect other people and cause trouble in other people's lives, right? So he warns us. And then Proverbs 4:23, guard your heart. Guard your heart, for out of it springs the issues of life. Everything that pertains to how you're going to live your life depends on what's in your heart. Amen? So another version says, guard your heart, put boundaries around your heart. Be careful what you let into your heart, right? Out of the issues of your heart, out of your heart springs the issues of life. So if a bitter root is forming, if a bitter root is forming in your heart, you are primed. You are primed for the comments of people, for the criticisms of people. You're primed to become offended. Your heart, the stage of your heart, is all set up for hurt. Amen? You know, and it just starts, often it starts with just a comment that somebody makes, right? Or like I said, an unmet expectation, you know, a disappointment, and it evolves into an offense. So the question is, how do we deal with these things? How do we get past the negative things that have happened in our life? Good question, right? So today we don't want to just present the problem. I want to give you some practical solutions. Can I suggest this plan to you? This is a 3-point simple plan that I think really works. This is how you can get past all those negative things. Here it is. Number one, all those negative things that don't hurt, those hurts, don't nurse them. don't nurse them. You know what? What's nursing like? You got that little baby, you stick a bottle in his mouth and feed it. Don't feed it, right? Don't feed on those negative things, right? Second thing, don't rehearse them. Don't rehearse them. People who are stuck in that, they're just always going, and they're going through it, and every time they rehearse them, they embellish it in their mind, and it gets worse and worse. It gets deeper hurt and deeper wounding and affects their spirit. So what do you do? Don't nurse them. Don't rehearse them. What are you supposed to do? Number three, disperse them. What does that mean? Give them over to God. You know, repent. Turn to God. Confess your sins. Forgive those who have done wrong to you, right? And ask for forgiveness if you've done wrong. I think that's key. Don't nurse them. Don't rehearse them. Disperse them. You've got to constantly get on your knees. You know, this is not even things that have happened way in your past. This is something that could have happened yesterday. Could have been something that happened this very morning. Right? Now, I'm getting into you're remembering these things, right? No, but what does the Bible say? 1 John 1:9. If you confess your sins, right? He's faithful and just to forgive your sins and purify you from all unrighteousness, right? He who conceals his sins does not prosper, but he who confesses them and renounces them finds mercy. It's freedom. Freedom and confession. You know, and it's something like you got to do every single day. I've got to do it every single day because of you guys. Oh no, not because of you guys. Everybody else. Yeah, you're welcome. Just being honest with you. I'm just kidding. You know, you've got to continuously forgive. Because we live in a fallen world. People are so hurt, and hurt people are going to hurt you all the time. You know, if you're a hurt person, and you're hurting people, you know, and people are starting to get repelled by you and don't want to get beside you, maybe there's something that you need to deal with in your heart. Amen? I'm speaking truth to you. Because I'm concerned about some people. And they just go from relationships to relationships, church to church, because of hurt that is unresolved. And they refuse to deal with it. You've got to deal with it. You know, and if you still can't get past it, you're still doing it, and the wounds are so deep, sometimes they're like that. I say, go get some good Christian counseling. Helps you identify where those deepest wounds are. And it brings them to light. You know? And you know what? Get a neuro process. Join a recovery group. Join a recovery. If you're struggling in your relationship, you were married and you're separated, divorced now, you know, make sure you go to divorce care. We have a divorce care. We have a Sunday or a Christmas gathering. What's it called, Sandra? Sorry. So on what day was that? December 12th, right here. Get back in it. You know, being a part of a recovery group might not just be for one season. It might be for several seasons. But you don't ever give up. You don't want to give, because healing is a process, right? And sometimes the process it needs more time because it's deeper in some people's lives. But let's get over our past, right? So let's get over our past. And this is so critical, but I'm not quite done here because I want to say, but if you really want to grow, if you really want to progress, you've got to do more than that, okay? Here's what you got to do. Number one, you got to get around people who are healthy. You got to get around healthy people. You know, people who speak healthy words, people who have good attitudes, people who have that life-giving spirit in them, right? You've got to get around these types of people. And because the Bible says, you know, walk with the wise and what? Grow wise. Iron sharpens, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another, right? So you've got to do that. And as wrong people can contaminate your spirit. Healthy people can help you, right? And healthy people know that they can't hang around with negative, toxic people. They can't hang around a lot, right? So, you know, they recognize, healthy people recognize toxic, negative people who are still struggling with their past, right? And so there's a tendency, if you're one that's, you're kind of toxic, you're kind of negative, and you know you need to get around healthy people. And as soon as you try to do it, they're going to recognize that and they say, they put a cross like this in front of you. No, they won't. You know, You've got to get together with people. You've got to get alongside and say, you know, listen, I'm going to be struggling with some issues in my life. And I just need to be around people who are positive-minded and encouraging and can just kind of lift me out of that. No, I want your positivity to rub off on me, not my negativity to rub off on you. Amen? And I think if you approach someone like that, I think that person should be willing to help you. Amen? So get around healthy people. The second thing you need to do is disconnect. Disconnect from sources of infection. You know, and sometimes we need to ask God, what do I need to disconnect from? Who do I need to disconnect from? Maybe not totally, but maybe distance myself from some people. Here's one thing I want to suggest. Stay away from negative people on social media. On social media. I've seen it. I don't go on Facebook much, but I've seen a lot of that. All of a sudden, somebody says something, and there's a response, and it's just, man, I just get out of there right away, right? You know, sometimes you just got to disconnect, right? You got to get away from the negativity. Here's another thing. Stop watching so much of the news. You know, you watch the news, and it's all, news is news usually because it's really negative, right? And then the newscasters like to kind of just push that negativity, so almost to the point like, you know, some of it's not even true when you hear all this negative stuff, eh? So be careful what you allow it into your heart. Amen? So because of time, I'm going to finish up here. You got to get past your smallness. You want to grow, prosper, flourish, you got to get past your smallness. You got to get past average. You got to get past your past. And the fourth thing you need to do, and this is so key and so important, number four, you got to be rooted in God's house. Rooted in God's house. Are you a Christian here today? Have you received Jesus? God saved your soul. He gave you eternal life, salvation, and a start in life. But he also expects you to be a part of his family called the local church. Not the universal church, the local church. Almost every time God talks, Jesus talks about the Bible talks about the church. It's local church, a family of believers, the house of God. You've got to do that. And here's a picture of an uprooted tree. Fouled over because its roots weren't quite adequate. That probably tree had probably years and years and years left, but it never reached its old age, right? Here's what, and our lives are often like trees. And Psalm 92 verse 13 says, those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. Get planted in the house of God, and your lives will flourish. Amen? That's what he's saying. And if you're not planted, get planted. You know, join a small group. You know, interacting and giving and learning how to do life with other people. It's so critical. Some would say, no, church is not a place, not just a place to attend. It's a community to belong to. It's a family to belong to. God wants you to belong, right? Believe and belong to his house, to his family. So important. Critical to do that. And if you're here, if you're just here on Sunday, you know, you only grow so far. But if you get planted, wow, you are opening up your life for unending, continuous growth in your life. Amen? You know, join. Get planted. Now, I know if you get planted and you become a part of the church, someone is going to say something. Someone is going to do something to offend you. Right? Someone is going to do it. This is old farming slogan. A sure shooting. No? Somebody is going to offend you. Don't let that push you out of the house. Don't let that push you up. Because this is the place. This is the environment that God wants you to be planted so that your life can grow and develop and change and flourish. Amen? This is how you learn to forgive people when you're with people who offend you, right? This is where the grace of God flows with you and through you to forgive other people. So many people, they just pack it in, they're just gone. Seen it time and time and time and time again. And they just take their issues to another church and just pack the bag. All their issues just go with them. And their life never changes. In fact, it just, in their heart and their spirit, they just get more bitter. And the effect, the bitter root affects them and other people even more. Amen? No, don't allow the enemy to do that to your life, right? You can move ahead and beyond your past history. Amen? To new things, bigger things, better things. To grow with the fruit of the Spirit. To grow in love. To grow in joy. To grow in peace. Amen? That's what God does in the house. In 2 Corinthians 5:17. I'll finish with this scripture. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, that is grafted in, joined to Him by faith in Him as a Savior, he is a what? New creation. New creation. Reborn, renewed by the Holy Spirit. The old things, the previous moral and spiritual condition, have passed away. They're passing away. Behold, new things have come. Because spiritual awakening brings a new life. Wherever you are today, wherever you are today in your faith walk, maybe you haven't received Christ, it's time for you to enter a new life. Wherever you are, you may be a veteran Christian for years, you can still experience more of the newness of life, of freedom that God has for you starting today. Amen? Amen? We can. I say, we can. We can. We can continue. We can move forward. We can progress in Jesus' name. Amen? Through Jesus Christ. Do you believe that? Yeah. If you believe that, say amen. Shout amen. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Bow your heads, please. Thank you, Father. Father, I want to speak to that person here. There's somebody here. You know there's something missing in your life. There's something missing. And today Jesus stands before you. And He offers you the most priceless gift ever, called the gift of eternal life and salvation. Not only that, He offers you a brand new life, a whole new start. And it starts by just merely believing in Jesus and receiving Him into your heart. And I promise you, when you do that with sincerity, He will fill your heart. He will fill that empty hole in your heart. And all you have to do is to believe in Him and receive it and invite Him into your heart. So if you're ready to do that today, I want to pray with you. Just very short, simple prayer, but I promise you, it will be the most powerful prayer, life-changing prayer you have ever prayed in your life. So if that's you and you're ready to pray, or maybe you're here today and you're so far away from God, and maybe you don't feel accepted, you don't feel that love of God, you can come and give your heart and surrender your heart right back to Jesus again, and He'll receive you. So if you've never received Christ and you want to give your heart back to Him, will you pray this prayer? In fact, I want all of us to pray this prayer together. Are you ready? Let's pray this prayer to Jesus. Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I believe You died on a cross for my sins. I repent of my sins. I receive You into my heart to be Lord and Savior of my life forever. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. If you said that prayer for the very first time, I want you with great boldness and confession to say, I receive Christ. I said that prayer. Or I said that prayer. If you said that prayer, raise your hand. Just hold it up. Hold it up. Any hands? I want to see that hand. Raise that hand. I know there's somebody here. I know. I felt the Spirit of God saying there is more than even just one person. You need to raise your hand. Okay? All right. Thank You, Father. Thank You for the goodness of God. Thank You for the Word of God that we heard today. And like, don't allow us to be like the children in the desert. They heard the Word, they didn't believe it. Help us to take this Word, believe it, and put it into action. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.